All right, guys. Welcome once again to your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. I'm Brad Howard, and once again, John Barham is with me on the phone. And today we're going to talk about something a little bit interesting. We kind of alluded to it last time on the show, but apparently in the forum there have been a couple of questions about, you know, can you get the nutrients you need out of a vitamin, and could you legitimately probably just eat whatever you wanted to and take a multi and be, I guess, healthy. I guess that's the basic gist of it. Is that kind of what the gist of it was?
Yeah, that's exactly what the question was. So basically, we talk that there's no really such thing as a good food or a bad food. And then when you try to break down, when I ask people what they think a good or bad food is, they start mentioning all of the nutrients it provides, things like, you know, vitamins, minerals, fiber, phytonutrients that no one can even categorize, and we don't even know what they do. Things like that. So, you know, and then, you know, people get into the type of carbohydrate. Is it a simple carb or a complex carb, and all this stuff, right? So whenever someone tries to define a food as being good or bad, they always start talking about its chemical components. So basically it's the sum of its parts is what everyone, no one comes up with any better argument than that, right? The sum of its parts. So, which I think is the complete opposite direction. I would just say it's just the enjoyment of having whole foods. It's the enjoyment of having like specific food items that are just, in, you know, tasty to eat, satisfying to eat. But in which case, there's no such thing as a good or bad food based on its micro components, but rather, you know, me and Pilon came up with the idea that birthday cake has to be the best food, because it means you're at a party, it means you're with people that you like and that like you, and that you have enough friends that someone's invited you there. Or if it's your birthday, then it's your birthday. So, you know, if you take the event of it, then birthday cake's probably the best food because of all the social and personal things it means. Speaking nothing about its, you know, chemical components, but people don't think of food that way. They think of it in a reductionist. If we break it apart to its pieces and we chart all the things in it, like how much vitamins, how much minerals, how much carbohydrates, how little or, you know, how little fat is in there, how much essential fat, all that stuff is what people think, which is kind of ridiculous, because if that's how you're categorizing what a good or bad food is, the best food on earth based on that kind of evaluation would be some sort of chemically derived mash that has all the vitamins and minerals put into it with, you know, some kind of source of carbohydrate, fat, and essential fats and protein all mixed in the exact right ratio, which that doesn't sound at all like food. So,
sounds like space food.
Yeah, exactly. It would be, it's those things that's engineered, you know, and that's preserved in some sort of packaging that you could take somewhere with you when you can't have access to real food. So, but that's kind of not the right way of looking at it. So to answer the question, is it possible to get your vitamins and minerals from a daily multivitamin and then just eat your carbohydrate, protein, and fat from any sort of random source that you want? Theoretically, yes, you can do that. I mean, you would be hard-pressed to find a reason why that wouldn't work. Now, as long as your total calories are where you are shooting for. So let's say your goal is just maintenance. Let's say you just don't want to gain weight or lose weight. You just want to maintain. So let's say you burn 2,000 calories a day. That's your basal metabolic rate. And let's say you're relatively active and you put in 400 or 500 calories worth of activity a day. So you've got about 2,500 calories you can eat in a day without gaining or losing weight. If you took a multivitamin once a day that has the 100% of the recommended dose of everything that we kind of need in a day, it would be very difficult to find a reason why eating 2,500 calories of whatever source you want would actually be deleterious, would actually be bad for you. Now, and I know immediately people are thinking, oh, well, you know, eating donuts all day or eating butter all day. But those are ridiculous arguments because no one would actually do that. Like, most people are going to eat a mix of some kind of food. Like, unless you go out of your way to try to eat just carbohydrate, just protein, or just fat, no one actually ends up eating just one of those. So that's kind of an absurd argument that almost everyone jumps to immediately when we talk about this sort of stuff. Unless you really go out of your way, you're going to eat a mix of carbohydrates, protein, and fat. You know, that's just how almost all food's structured. So you're going to find a mix of it no matter what you choose. And then from there, it's just the total calories. If you're above that number, you'll gain. And if you're below that number, you'll lose. And it won't matter the source that you ate that from. Now, to speak of nutrients, vitamins and minerals are called nutrients because so far, and the reason we have the ones that we know of categorized as vitamin as nutrients is because we've done research and we know that if you take vitamin A away from someone or if you take vitamin C away from someone for an extended period of time, a measurable pathology develops. So that means something goes wrong in your system that's measurable and reversible when you reintroduce that vitamin. Same thing with minerals. We need them at a much lower dose, but a measurable negative consequence happens when you take away one of the essential nutrients, minerals, away from a person too. So that's why the ones that we know of are categorized and put into a multivitamin, because we know that if you take one of those away, something goes wrong.
Yeah.
That's why there's other ones that aren't categorized as nutrients, because there's other phytochemicals or phytonutrients that may show some benefit or may show some promise, but if you dose them, like lycopene or some of these other things, but it doesn't mean that if you don't have them, there's something measurably happens that goes wrong. So that's the difference between something that isn't right now categorized as a nutrient, but may be of some benefit, but it's not like you need it to survive. Whereas, you know, if you don't have vitamin C for an extended period of time, stuff goes wrong. Like you're going to be in serious trouble if it's completely missing from your diet for an extended period of time. And that goes with all the essential nutrients. That's why we have them categorized that way. So based on that definition of what a nutrient is and the basic vitamins and minerals that you'd find in a multivitamin, there is no reason to think that you'd be worse off if that's how you got your vitamins that way or your vitamins and minerals that way and then just ate your carbohydrates, protein, and fat, regardless of if they have vitamin, whatever their vitamin and mineral content is, through random sources. Now, with that said, almost every food item has some amount of vitamin and mineral load in it. Like, you know, citrus fruits are high in, you know, things like vitamin C, whereas meat's high in things like vitamin B. So it would be really hard for you to actually find some kind of food source that's completely devoid of any vitamin or mineral. Like that actually would be impossible unless you're just eating straight sugar. So that's kind of an unrealistic. Like, I get the point of the question, but it's sort of an absurd concept because it would almost be impossible to recreate without doing it in a lab setting. I mean, it would be hard. It would be hard to find 2,000 calories a day that have satisfying calories a day that have absolutely no vitamin or mineral content to them at all.
Yeah, I mean, what was it like? I think scurvy was like the number one thing that was like killing like sailors and stuff. And
well,
then
there's it hasn't been too long that, you know, things like iodine deficiency was a global problem. Vitamin A deficiency was a global problem. That's why so much of our food supply is fortified with vitamins. Like, nobody realizes that. This whole absurd argument of getting back to what's natural and, you know, people rallying against food that's been fortified or fortified flour. That's just ridiculous. The modern food processing has various fortifications in it simply because up until we had that, there was mass malnutrition. Like, you know, even in North America, people were missing out on a lot of certain nutrients that we just need. That's why iodized table salt is iodized. The iodine does nothing for the salt. What it does is it gets iodine into the population when we used to have an iodine deficiency. That's the only reason that's why it's like that. So, you know, our food supply is supplemented on purpose because it's really hard to get all the nutrients you need without it. And, you know, and this leads into the argument about, being a locavorism and eating what's locally grown. That's another ridiculous argument because, you know, here in Canada, we'd never have an orange then. Like, we wouldn't have access to, you know, we'd never have a banana. There's all kinds of foods that don't exist here that we would never be able to eat. Yet if you, that same person would talk about eating a balanced diet that includes foods that only grow in tropical areas. So it's, you know, you can't have it both ways. You either accept the industrial food supply chain and the fact that in modern societies we can actually get food that comes from countries and countries away, and that's great. You know, otherwise I would never know what a mango would taste like. I would never be able to have a banana, like none of this stuff. Or you go with this ridiculous argument from antiquity about locavorism and that you should eat locally and So that means you can only eat what naturally grows in your area during the growing season, and then you preserve it, whatever, you know, for, you preserve what you can for the winter. So then you'd just be eating preserves and jam all winter, which is full of, you know, sodium and various preservatives and sugar. So it's kind of a, it's an impossible argument, and it's an argument just from ignorance, basically. But in general, the concept that we can eat a diverse food supply and that it's available to us, there's just no way we're going to end up in a position where we're going to get all of our vitamins and minerals from a supplement and none of it from food. It's just the food supply is so diverse. I don't care how poor you think your diet is, you're going to get lots of vitamins and minerals no matter what you pick and choose to eat. And if you think you're deficient in any one thing, yeah, you could throw a multivitamin in and you'd basically top up your levels of everything.
Right. So I guess the big thing is that even if you tried to, you know, I guess not get, you know, the vitamins and minerals and stuff like that, I mean, it would be super hard.
Be pretty hard. You could try, like you mean out of the food itself. You could go low in fiber. Like you could go days without having very much fiber. Actually, lots of North Americans do that. And you could go pretty low in essential fats, you know, which again is a chronic thing in North America. But interestingly, there's an acceptable intake of essential fats, but there still isn't a lower cutoff. We can't really tell what goes wrong with people if they don't have essential fats. So it's not the same as a vitamin.
Hmm.
So they're categorized very specifically that way. So there's actually the actual amount of quote fat you need in a day there is no amount. There's an adequate intake or an acceptable intake, but there's no lower cutoff that if you go below it for an extended period of time, we can show manifest a problem.
Yeah, like your shoulder's going to fall out of socket or you're not.
Well, it's not like how you can have measurable problems, like scurvy produces measurable problems in connective tissue and you know, vitamin A causes measurable problems with your eyes and things like that. There is no measurable problem.
Hmm.
There may be a collection of symptoms that might be, you know, bothersome or annoying, but you can't actually show it.
Right. So, I mean, basically for anybody listening, and I mean, if you wanted to buy a multivitamin, actually, I mean, let's talk about this because I've kind of heard this and you and I have talked about it and even Pilon, where people talk about, you know, taking antioxidants and stuff like that, but they get to a point where they start piling them on and they start to turn into pro-oxidants.
Yeah, it's the hormetic effect. So basically, things in a specific dose can have one reaction, but that same item at a different dose can produce the reverse reaction. So it's not linear. It's your body, for everything you do to your body, it reacts a certain way, and you can actually, antioxidant can become a pro-oxidant. So it's not just pile them all in. So it doesn't work like that. So there seems to be, for many things, there seems to be a hormesis effect where there's a sweet spot and above it is bad and below it is bad.
Right.
So or above and below is reverse of what happens at a specific dose. I don't know if that makes sense to people. It's kind of like working out. Working out's a perfect example of hormesis. So you have the amount that causes the adaptation you want, right? Then you go above it and you get overtraining and you either tear a muscle, blow a tendon, or go straight into overtraining. So that's too much. And then if you don't work out at all, you don't get any muscle and no strength. So that's an example of hormesis. There's the just right dose, and then there's the too much dose and the too little dose.
Nice.
And yeah, so that happens with nutrients, drugs, that happens with almost everything. Stress, that happens with stress. Like a certain amount of stress causes your system to react and you become stronger. Too much stress just buries you and you can't handle it and you get sick. So it's kind of like that feeling when you're like, I don't know, like you have a deadline to work towards and, you know, the stress level builds up. You're like, oh man, I got to get this sucker done. That's the sweet spot of the stress that drives you to get something done or, you know, get a final, you know, you cram for an exam or you have a, you know, that sort of thing. Like a major event's coming up and you're planning it. You got, you know, towards the end, the stress builds, but that drives you to get the thing done. You derive actually some energy from it, so to speak. Basically your fight or flight response. But if you're under that kind of stress every single day, then you break down and get sick and you can't do it. And that's when people like have a nervous breakdown.
Right. So
feel no stress, nothing gets done and you're unproductive.
Yeah. And then you don't do jack shit.
Yeah, you just end up, you just,
you know, a fat blob.
Well, you just get left behind in all instances. You don't get the work done. You don't pass the exam. You don't the event never happens because you feel no drive to do it.
Yeah, you'd almost have to be like literally non-emotional, like devoid of all emotion for that to even happen. Because even getting left behind would wreak havoc on your psyche, I would think. You know what I mean? So that even not keeping up with the pack would create some stress. So you would literally have to be either in a drug-induced state where you were pretty much on, you know, something all the time that really just...
Well, and that's a perfect example. People who are on drugs that are devoid of that, look what happens.
Right.
It removes that response.
Right. So I guess kind of bringing it back home, you know, we've talked about a lot of this stuff. I mean, both you, Pilon, you know, I always ask and try to dig into a lot of the questions, but it everything just seems to be dose dependent.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the general. Okay, so what we're actually talking about is the general adaptation syndrome. The body just works on the stress thing I just said, and working out as an example. That's just how your body works. It responds to a stressor, and it builds the appropriate if we're working out, it builds the appropriate amount of strength and muscle. For emotional stress, it builds the appropriate strength to deal with that the next time. It's kind of like you go through a rough relationship thing. The first time it crushes you, but the second time you're like, oh, okay, I can handle it. And it doesn't exactly crush you, right? The first time you make a mistake at work, you feel really lousy about it. But the second time you're like, oh, I've been through this before. I know it's not going to ruin my day. So, you know, that's just how you build and learn and grow. And then that's how you move forward. But you can only handle so much stress at a given time, right? You can't, I mean, there's only so many hits you can take at once until they just crush you. I mean, there's actually some research that has a kind of a stress index of what people can handle. So if you like, and they categorize traumatizing events, like a death in the family, losing your job, breaking up with a significant other, a loss of a limb is actually one of them. And if any, because the change it makes to your life is dramatic, right? So
right.
It's that's similar to a loss of a loved one or a spouse, because it's like, oh my God, my life's never going to be the same again. That thing's not there anymore. So, you can only handle so many of those in a certain number of months without it going to for sure manifest in some sort of illness. So it's kind of like your stress index. There's only so much you can handle. Now, you can take one of those hits once every couple of years, but if you take a bunch of those hits all within a month or two, you just can't handle it. It's just too much.
Yeah.
So, and that's from the sort of psychosocial stress standpoint. But that manifests as physical problems. Like you actually will get physically sick. Something will kind of – you'll just become overwhelmed and get sick. And we can show that, right? We can show that the immune system is linked to your neuroendocrine system is linked to your immune system. So essentially, if you're feeling upset and stressed, that'll eventually depress your immune system and you will become sick. So, on the same, I guess trying to bring it all back around to this vitamin and mineral question is, can you just eat whatever you want and get your vitamins and minerals? From what we can tell, as long as you get the vitamins and minerals more or less on a rolling daily average of what is recommended, which any good multivitamin will provide, you can, quote, dose your carbohydrates, proteins, and fats however you want, and the vitamins and minerals should be fine if you get them in a supplemental form. And then from there, it's just however you choose to eat there really shouldn't be much of a problem. And then from there, I suppose you could tweak your diet a little bit here and there to increase or decrease the fiber or increase or decrease the sugar, and you can test how it feels. But again, the missing point to all of this is are you eating at balance, in a deficit, or in excess? If you're eating in a caloric excess, you're just going to gain weight, and the problems of eating in a caloric excess will manifest regardless of how many vitamins and minerals you take in.
Right. Yeah, it's just funny. It's everything we talk about. There's a sweet spot for every single thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like if you're not eating enough, you lose weight. If you're eating, you know, about regular, I mean, you pretty much maintain. If you're eating too much, I mean, we're talking about getting to some type of toxic calorie load, like you guys are doing some research on now. You know, so calories that have a have a both kind of a lower and upper level of toxicity, for lack of a better term. You know, even though we're not talking about toxins, but toxicity. You know, working out, same thing. If you don't work out, basically you waste away. If you work out too much, you break down. The mineral, vitamins and minerals, things like a Cyberry and all this stuff that people were all excited about. You know, people were hyperdosing that stuff. Well, great, it's an antioxidant. But now we find out that if you hyperdose it, well, guess what? It becomes a pro-oxidant and makes you look even worse. All right, that sucks. Vitamins, minerals, same way. Don't get enough, it sucks. Get too much, it sucks. The beer, wine, alcohol.
Oh yeah, alcohol is a great example of the hormetic effect. A couple and you feel great, too much and you're puking, and then obviously you can go to the point of death.
Right, and even water.
Yeah, oh yeah. Did you hear about that radio call-in show where those people, me and Pilon were talking about it. I don't know if we talked about it, but there was a radio show where they were getting people to drink as much water as they could without going to the bathroom. And it was a competition between a guy and a girl. And two or three, on three occasions during this, and it was like a 5 or 6 minute bit or whatever. I don't know how long the bit was, but these people were drinking as much as they could, but they weren't allowed to go to the bathroom. And whoever went to the bathroom first lost, and the other person won some contest. And two nurses and a doctor called in saying, you have to stop this right now. This is dangerous. And the guys who hosted the radio show were like, whatever. And the girl died.
Yeah.
Because it's fatal if you take in that much water and you can't go and you stop yourself from going to the bathroom. And so I don't know what the fallout was, but I'm sure they got sued, and I'm assuming those guys got fired. But that's, you know, something as inert and benign sounding as water has a toxic dose. So yeah. Everything's dose dependent. Anyone who says there's a good or bad food and doesn't qualify what they're talking about with a dose, just doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, the perfect example. I mean, who would ever think that water would kill you other than drowning? Right? I mean, like literally, if there was anything that was benign, I mean, that's...
Well, considering you need it every day, you need it almost every day of your life to live.
Sure, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, if there was anything that was quote-unquote healthy, right?
Sure.
Like this, like it has to be the healthiest thing there is, like pure water. Mm-hmm. But if you get too much, it will kill you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that right there just, to me, says it all. That says it all. If water in its purest form can kill you, being dose dependent, and we're not talking about drowning. And
well, that should tell you that it's the dose is what matters, not the item. Like sure. if that doesn't tell you that the dose, like if you don't want to believe based on that information that it's not dose dependent, then you just don't want to, I don't know, then you're just making up your own ideas of what physiology is.
Well, you probably need to go somewhere else because we definitely ain't gonna be able to help you.
Yeah, yeah. if you didn't like that, you're not gonna like anything else.
Yeah, you're not gonna like anything we've got. So let's just part on good terms right now. but you know that's really interesting. The other interesting thing I kind of wanted to bring up, because this kind of goes into it, and speaking of being a dose dependent, let's talk about the guy, the professor, that's eating the junk food diet.
Yeah, I haven't been following up on him lately, but he, from what I gather, he should be on his eating the healthy food stuff now. So this guy at Kansas State University, if you just look up junk food diet, if you Google search junk food diet Kansas State University, you'll find this guy. He's a professor of nutrition there, and he's trying to prove a point that it's just calories that causes weight gain and weight loss, and it doesn't matter what foods you eat. And so he is doing a caloric deficit, but with like, quote, junk food, and literally, like, you know, Twinkies and wagon wheels and things like that, like stuff that's highly processed, mostly sugar, you know, trans fats, like all the stuff people would demonize. And he's losing weight eating that stuff. And he's been doing that for about a month now. And so, you know, so all he does is calculate his calories, make sure they're below what he's burning, and he's steadily losing weight. So, and then.
And his markers are getting better.
Yeah, and his health markers are fine too. So on the other side, when he's done that half of the experiment, he's going to overeat, quote, health foods. So he's going to eat, you know, whole grains, you know, lean cuts of meat and all that kind of stuff, but he's just going to overeat it and then just show that you gain weight doing that. So he's just trying to prove his point.
Right. So he's basically, and there, from what I can see, and I haven't listened to it, but from what I can see, I mean, there's no doubt that everything he's eating is quote unquote junk food.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's not hard to find.
Yeah. It's not like anything is borderline. Like anybody, almost anybody would look at this and go, oh, yeah, that's junk food.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, I guess, I don't even know what that means anymore. I guess it just means high sugar, high fat food, I guess.
Right. Yeah. I guess the thing that's just funny is not only is he losing, but, you know, the whole argument that, oh, yeah, but it's not healthy. Oh, okay, well.
It will measure, yeah, well, then you get into the definition of health, which is a completely, you can't define that. And yeah, then people, I mean, he must feel like crap. Like, people just keep grasping at straws. They're like, oh, there's no way he feels good. And all this kind of nonsense. But it's that has nothing to, the type of food you eat doesn't really have that much to do with how you feel versus how much of it you eat.
Yeah.
Like, you really think eating one slice of pizza makes you feel bad? Eating an entire pizza might not feel great.
Yeah.
But you know what? Try it with apples. Eat one apple, you'll feel fine. Eat six of them, and you'll be double over in pain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not fun.
No. Like, there's no food you can overeat that doesn't end up feeling terrible. Like, eventually, it all feels bad if you overeat it.
Yeah. Well, then it's funny because I guess that's the consideration is people have tried, like, literally eating some of the other stuff, but they can't get it down. Like how many people are going to get down, like, eight apples in a row?
You can't. If anyone wants to try, go ahead. It hurts like hell. Like, yeah. Maybe two or three tops. But, yeah, you know, and that's why I think the argument when people jump to the conclusion that, oh, yeah, well, you're not going to feel good eating, eating pizza all day long or eating donuts all day long. I'm like, yeah, but you won't feel good eating vegetables all day long either. Yeah. Eventually, that's going to hurt too.
Yeah. The difference is that it's processed in such a way so that you can eat it.
Well, yeah, exactly. But you can eat it in excess, but it'll eventually feel lousy too.
Right. So, but kind of going back to what you were saying, if you could, let's say you go and you eat a whole slice of pizza, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, then you're like, that sucks. But, you know, chances are for most of us, it's really easy to kind of overeat pizza or it's really
easy. Exactly. Processed. Yeah. Refined carbohydrate type foods and those sort of things are easier to get down because they're engineered. They're engineered to be palatable and easy to eat.
Sure.
So it's not the food item per se. It's just how easy it is to get it down.
Right. So kind of going back to where I was going with that is that if you could take the equivalent amount of, say, apple, right?
Oh, and make it easier to eat, yeah.
And just sit down and force yourself to literally eat the same amount of, you know, calories or whatever, or maybe not even calories, just maybe volume. Volume might be easier, right? So amount of food volume of apples as you would pizza, and you just sat there and ate it in the same amount of time, that would suck ass.
Actually, it would be the calories, not the volume.
You think calories?
Well, yeah, because that's why the apple would hurt so much to try. Like, there's no way you could eat. That's why people tried it. That's why vegetables and fruit are the healthy thing to eat because their volume per calorie is really high. So there's not a lot of calories. You need to eat bowls and bowls and bowls of vegetables to get any significant amount of calories. But right. You only need to eat like a handful of. Well, you know, like nuts or a handful of higher processed, higher sugar and fat foods to get the same amount of calories. So those ones go they're denser as far as calories. So they don't hurt as much because there's less mass that's going into your stomach with more calorie in it. But I mean, volume-wise, the fruit and vegetables take up way more space. That's why you can't overeat them. It just hurts to try to overeat them.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's no amount of vegetables you could possibly eat in a day to overeat them. I think you'd be in significant pain before you ever get to an overeating state.
Well, you could try it. I mean, you could go.
I'd like someone to try it.
I can tell you. I've not tried that, but, you know, like if I go to like a salad joint and, you know, when all you can eat salad bars and just kind of chat on a couple plates of salad and that's pretty much all I've eaten all day, mm-hmm. It's not a fun day.
No, but the thing is, you'd still be in a huge deficit. Like, I can't see how you could possibly overeat that stuff.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
you'd be eating all day.
I guess depends on how much salad dressing you slapped on it.
No, not dressing. The actual vegetables. Right. Again, because then dressing's totally different, right? I'm talking about the vegetables themselves.
Right. Oh, I was just saying what my experience was. Yeah, it wasn't fun.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone could do it.
Yeah, I've done it a couple of times, so I thought it was kind of fluky, and I was like, yeah, because, I mean, you know, we've been cutting down and stuff like that, and I was like, yeah, this is not fun. You know, you definitely understand within about an hour and a half why it's not fun.
Yeah.
And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
This is a PG show.
Yeah, but anyone who wants to test it, let us know. Like, I'm putting the challenge out. I want someone to try to eat. Okay, so this is the test. Try to eat 4,000 calories a day. One way, do it with, you know, pizza, burgers, ice cream, sugary junk food, if you will, fast food junk food. And then the other way, try to do it with, like fruits and vegetables and that kind of food.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you they can't. I'll bet you no one can actually get to four. The first way, you can do it in one meal, and it won't actually hurt that bad. The second way, I bet you can't do it in 24 hours.
Yeah, I actually think I read Berardi did something like that, where he was trying to do a vegetarian bulk diet,
mm-hmm.
where he was chowing down like 5,000 calories. And he, if I'm not mistaken, he was saying it was definitely not pleasant. There was a lot of bloating, a huge amount of bloating.
I mean, I guess on the vegetarian side, we'd have to make a provision for being able to eat lean meat. Otherwise, you'd never be able to do it.
Yeah, it wasn't even lean meat. It was basically like just, you know, strict vegetarian. He was trying to get to see if he could get that many calories in. And I think he said he was coming in at like a 32 waist or something. But because of the bloating, like he could literally, I don't know if this is kind of extreme, but he was saying, man, it was bloating him up to like a 38 inch waist or whatever.
Oh yeah. The bloat can happen. I mean, I suppose you'd have to eat a lot of legumes and beans, and then you'd get into nuts and higher density stuff. But then again, that's what you're doing. You're getting into higher density stuff again.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Which is,
but regardless, that experiment didn't last very long.
Right. But, yeah. That's just not gonna. It's not gonna be comfortable.
Yeah, by any means. So, yes. All right. Well, I guess we started at one point. We handled a lot of things, and we kind of came back to the same old thing we always come to, which is dose.
Yeah, it's dose dependent. It's, you know, there's always a sweet spot. It's kind of the story of the whole thing. You can. I hope someone does it just to let us know how it goes. I mean, I don't.
And is honest about it.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's not because we're setting you up for a lousy day. It's because we know what it's going to feel like. But if you're curious and you want to prove it to yourself, try it. Try to get to 4,000 calories both ways. One way with high density junk and fast food, and then the other way with, quote, healthy food.
Yeah, it's definitely tougher. And you know what, that kind of goes back to, you know, why you see a lot of people say, oh, you don't have to worry about counting calories. You just have to eat, you know, all you have to do is eat, you know, meat and vegetables and you're good to go. Well, I mean.
Well, that's because you can't overeat vegetables. Yeah, if you actually wanted the answer of, well, I never want to count calories ever again, then that's what you'd have to do. You'd have to literally restrict yourself to vegetables and with some meat, because likely there's no way you could overeat that kind of mix.
Yeah, it'd probably be like chicken breast too.
Basically chicken breasts, and then, you know, have your way around the produce section, and that's it. And then that way, likely, no matter how you choose to divide up your meals, if that's all you're eating, it doesn't matter. You're likely never going to really get up to. You probably barely get to maintenance on a daily basis, unless you really pound the meat, like eat lots of meat.
You said pound meat.
Yeah, I know. That's. So juvenile, you have to call that out.
Oh, man.
But anyways, do you see, like, that's the go-to, that's the default, like, oh, yeah, counting calories doesn't work, just pile in the vegetables, so.
Yeah, but that's why. But by default, what you're giving away the flexibility of
you're taking away so many social options, you're taking away so many good eating options, you're just, you know, what's the point of living if you can't have some of what, you know, all the different foods that are available?
Yeah, it kind of goes back into that whole mindset of, you know, are you going to change your entire life, which we don't really recommend, you know, because we know it's not going to work. I mean, totally change your entire life, everything you eat,
mm-hmm.
or would you rather just kind of get a handle on the basics of what really is going on and know that you can maneuver in and out and have some flexibility with it?
I mean, it doesn't mean eating a lot more vegetables is a bad thing. It just means that it's not the only way to do it, and it's not you shouldn't get trapped into a mindset that that's like it's something. There's something bad or dangerous if you don't if you stray from that as your daily routine.
Yeah, it's know what it is.
It balances. It's back to balance.
It's just know what everything is. Yep. I guess the easiest example is from another side is, you know, like I'll give a dating example, which is because I hear about this all the time. It's like one of the big pieces of advice you hear in the dating side for guys that want to meet women is, oh, you have to be masculine. Well, that's not true. I know tons of like artisty type guys that get lots of ass. They're not very masculine. So, all right, what now? What is it? You know, so it's kind of like that. It's like, okay, well, that's not the real answer. There's something underneath all that that's the answer. And the actual answer is that those people are both masculinity and the artisty type. They're both just interesting people. So when it all comes down to it, it's really the interest part, the interesting part that really kind of is what it really is.
Yeah.
So
it's missing what. Yeah. Exactly. It's labeling the cause and effect erroneously, labeling it the wrong thing.
Right. Like I've said plenty of times, there are lots of people out there that can get something right. Like they can give you a system or some type of protocol or whatever, and they can get it bang on. They can get lucky and can trial and error their way to something that's successful. And it happens all the time. Nothing wrong with that. That's how we learn to ride bikes. But I'll tell you this, and I read this and I agree with it. Everybody in the world pretty much knows how to ride a bike, but if you were going to get on a computer and actually do all the mathematical models and everything, it is almost impossible to find out why it works. Like if you were going to try to model it on a computer, like using code.
Right. So the mistake people make is trying to give you the why.
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to tell you why it works, when in reality it's probably really far off. I see it all the time in lots of different niches, especially in dating relationships and stuff like that, when people try to really back something out. Even in diet, you see it. People try to back, it's this special hormone that does something.
Oh, there's even like production drugs that work, but they're not really sure yet how they work. They just know it causes, you know, it gets an effect that they like, but they're still not sure how it actually does it.
Yeah, I mean, for example, something like Viagra that starts out as a heart medicine, all of a sudden now.
Oh yeah, there's a side effect there, and they're like, hang on a sec, we can use this for something else.
Yeah, whatever happened to the heart thing it was supposed to fix?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like this major heart thing that was supposed to fix, but now you're selling it because it's because of the side effect.
Yep, and I think Tylenol, acetaminophen, similar to that. I don't think they've 100% fleshed out the mechanism of how it does what it does.
Yeah, but isn't that interesting? Think about that. That's really something that kind of throws you for a loop. Like if you're taking Viagra, you're literally taking a drug that was meant for something else. Like its main use.
There's quite a few drugs like that. A lot of the, in more than one occasion, drugs that got rebranded for weight loss started out as antidepressants or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, because some of the mechanism is very similar.
What is it? Wellbutrin is it's used for as an antidepressant, but it's also used to stop smoking.
Well, yeah, because it deals with some of the same neurochemical pathways, so they. You know, dealing with the reward center and, you know, various neurotransmitters blocking their reuptake, things like that, or extending their reuptake. So, and then they find out that, oh, well, it improves mood, but at the same time, it also dampens appetite. So you're like, huh, well, if it,
right.
You know, whichever effect it's better at, we'll just market it for that. Yeah, oh. I lost you there for a sec.
Yeah, you faded out, but anyway.
All right. I think we covered this one.
we always circle the wagons and come back to the same stuff. Whatever you guys need to hear to feel comfortable and what it really is, and I guess that's what we're going to do for you. So, you got anything you want to close off on?
No, that's about it.
All right, cool, man. All right, well, like I say, Venus webinar is going on live this week. It'll be Thursday for any of the ladies. You should be on the Venus list. If you're not, go to venusindex.com. Get yourself up there. We'll get you all the information you need for that launch. It's going to happen later on this week and into next week. And so it's going to be lots of fun stuff. But for John Barbin, I'm Brad Howard, and that's your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.